This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Babs with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, doing me the favor of observing billionaires in the news. The Russian billionaires, understood as bad actors, and now an American billionaire, said to be the richest man in the solar system, which is sizable a tribute to Elon Musk at this time. However, this has to do with the consequences of a man who has successfully built Tesla, built SpaceX, built Boring Company and other enterprises, now purchasing someone else's creation. The mastermind of Tesla is now the mastermind of Twitter. And this is the headline. Elon Musk offloads 4 billion of Tesla shares, pledges no more sales. And it goes on to say how much he sold recently. Also, the article goes on to say that Mr. Musk, in phone calls to bankers, people looking to join in the purchase of Twitter, perhaps, or thinking about investing in Twitter, now wholly owned privately by Mr. Musk, if and when the deal goes through, have said that Mr. Musk is talking about reducing staff salaries, even cutting staff. And yet, Richard, we know that most of the noise headlines about Musk's decision to buy Twitter has to do with the threat to democracy, is one way it's put. I know that's overly colorful, but it's actually published routinely. Do you measure that this is about Musk? This is about a billionaire? This is about Twitter? How to look at this sudden excitement? Because as recently as a month ago, Musk was seen as a hero of the green innovation. That's what Tesla is.
Well, I mean, in politics, friends are very transient. And as you start to change your position, you're going to get yourself all sorts of enemies. And I mean, look, the first thing that somebody would say is, Mr. Musk is doing this as kind of a jaunt. I mean, he believes in First Amendment absolutism, which is a rather crude and inexact way of trying to think about the First Amendment. But on the other hand, if you start looking at what Twitter has done, it's been a kind of a political organ, and the disinformation racket, which is endorsed by the Biden administration, is essentially an effort not to prevent people from being defamed, but from preventing a free exchange of ideas, which is something that liberals used to believe in at the time of New York Times against Sullivan back in 1964, when everybody defended the New York Times for running an ad which was treated as defamatory in the Alabama courts. Well, in this particular case, you start looking at what Twitter has done, and frankly, I think it's pretty terrible. There's a huge debate over the COVID situation. There's a huge debate over the Wuhan virus and the source of this kind of thing. I tend on average to believe the anti-administration story and the anti-FDA story on virtually all of these issues. I certainly think the government is entitled to put its position out. I think people are certainly entitled to vigorously defend it. But I cannot believe that the way in which you run a political debate is to brand your other fellow as engaged in disinformation and refuse to publish the information. The New York Times today ran a big story about some of this stuff, saying, these are the guys who said that the Hunter Biden story was a complete fraud, a form of Russian disinformation, and we can't do it. Well, I mean, as the evidence seems to have shown now, it looks as though the laptop wasn't disinformation. And so the real question you have to ask is, somebody during the course of a political campaign allowed to suppress information that is adverse to the president because of his son's misbehavior, and that somehow is called advancing democracy? And so what's really going on here is we have a kind of an Orwellian world.
We have 1 minute, Richard. 1 minute. Go ahead.
The people who I think are the greatest dangers to free speech are essentially accusing their enemies of doing this. One way to put this, if you go to Russia, it turns out when they do disinformation, they call it the Ministry of Truth. And it seems to me that the Biden administration, with its efforts to try and expand its oversight on these things, is doing exactly the same thing. So what I think we ought to do is, we're not going to stop the situation with respect to Twitter. He will take it over. He will cut staff and try to make it more rational. People are certainly allowed to attack him, and he's allowed to defend himself. And ironically, what's happened is the new entry that has taken place in this market has not been by starting a new enterprise up from start, like Parler, which never was able to take hold. It was buying something. And this is the real genius of the American economy, is that the monopoly of the left over the social media may be no more.
Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, commenting on billionaires, Russian and American. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.